Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chidi and Induwa Rampol Chidi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. Welcome to Bible Issues, where we teach you to hear God's voice in the Bible. Whatever your situation, you can find God's direction in His Word. We are Dr. Denver Chidi and Induwa Rampol Chidi.
Hello everyone and welcome again to Bible Issues. I have been running the BibleIssues.org website for over 15 years now, and very regularly I get emails and Facebook messages from people from all over the world, writing about problems that they're really not sure who else to ask, questions that they have. Just recently, I got a Facebook call from somebody who lives in Germany. And this person was telling me that she suspects somebody has worked witchcraft on her husband. In fact, somebody from her church prophesied that somebody worked witchcraft on her husband, and she noticed that there has been a dramatic change in his life. He has been distant. He doesn't talk to them. He wants to leave. So she was complaining, you know, that she's a good Christian person. She goes to church. She pays her tithes. She does everything right. She's not a bad person. She lives a good Christian life. She prays. She reads her Bible. She serves God. Why me? And she also asked me, how do I know for sure if it was really witchcraft or if it's something else? And I told her, you don't really have to know if it's witchcraft or not. Whether it's witchcraft or not, it doesn't really make a difference as far as our spiritual warfare is concerned. Whatever is causing the demons to act, that doesn't concern us. The only thing that concerns us is that as Christians, we have authority over all the work of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. All that concerns us as Christians is that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. So whatever the demons' names, whatever their characteristics, we don't care. There is a reason why the Bible does not go into details on demons. It doesn't tell us a lot about demons. It doesn't tell us a lot about what their names are, what their characteristics are. There is no different strategy in dealing with different kinds of demons. The strategy is all the same. Take authority in Jesus Christ. So I told her, it doesn't really matter whether it's actually witchcraft or not. You have no way of knowing with 100% certainty. Yes, somebody may have prophesied to you, but that person could be wrong. That person could be right. We have absolutely no way of knowing until we actually get to heaven and ask God for Himself. Even if we get a word, even if we get a dream, there will still be that 1%, that 10% doubt in our mind. We have no way of knowing with 100% certainty. But it doesn't matter. There are a lot of things you don't need to know. While we wrestle against the devil, we don't need to know their characteristics, we don't need to know their names, we don't need to know who sent them. And that is really the issue with witchcraft. Witchcraft simply means the demon was sent by some other human person. But the demon could have been sent by a higher demon. The demon could have acted on his own. The demon could even have responded to God's authority. There have been many cases in the Bible of God using demons to get His work done. But the bottom line is, witchcraft is just one manifestation of the works of the enemy. It's not a special classification of warfare. There is no difference between fighting against witchcraft and fighting against anything else. The principles are exactly the same. The warfare is exactly the same. And I know that there are a lot of Christians who face similar problems to what that lady described. They are good people. They live good Christian lives. Yet, They go through so many trials. Their husbands are not saved. Their children give a lot of trouble. They can't find a job. They're in economic distress. They're in sickness. And it seems like nothing they do, even though they're a good person, they're living for God, they can't understand why they have to go through trials. Why God wouldn't give them a break. I would like to address that issue. How do Christians deal with situations like that? How do you deal with trials that you felt you didn't deserve? When I counseled that particular lady from Germany, I told her, I read for her a particular passage of scripture from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I'll just, because it's a long chapter, I'll just skim through it. Now, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they had taken captives the women who were there, but they did not kill anyone. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burnt with fire. Their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Verse 6 says, Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. In that particular passage of scripture, we see four different stages that David went through. He came back from battle and he found his town burned down. Some enemy had invaded the territory, taken away his wives, his children, his possessions, and they had burned the city to the ground. So David probably felt he didn't deserve that. So he and all of his friends who were there wept. They felt like they couldn't get a break. David had to be on the run for Saul. He had to be parading with a band of robbers and thieves. He was once anointed to be king, but now he's on the run. He's on exile. And he just couldn't catch a break. He came back to this when it was the very last thing he could afford. And the first thing David did, he wept. They wept until they had no more power to weep. That's the first step that David went through. Pity, grief, sorrow, desperation, hopelessness. But then, in verse 6, David was greatly distressed, for every man spoke of stoning him. Everybody was grieved. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. His first stage was pity. But then, the second stage is something called resolve. When you determine in yourself, listen, I am not going to let this thing get me down. I am not going to be defeated. I am going to rise up in the power of Christ. I'm going to get my victory. So that's the first stage is pity. Second stage is resolve. The third stage is fighting the battle. And the fourth stage is victory. So I told my friend, you are right now in the first stage. You are in the first phase where you're feeling sorry for yourself. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to condemn you. Everybody goes through it, and it is normal. But sooner or later, you have to come out of that pity and that sorrow and rise up. You have to strengthen yourself in the Lord. You have to get to that place called resolve, where you are determined that you are going to get your victory, whatever it costs. We don't know exactly how David strengthened himself in the Lord. The Bible didn't spell it out. But I know one time when David saw a man called Goliath pronouncing curses and blaspheming the name of his God. David was a little boy. He was unknown. And he said to himself, who is this dead dog talking about my God like that? Give me an armor. I will go and I will take him down. Because I remember when I was a shepherd, a lion came for the sheep And I withstood that lion with my bare hands. Another time a bear came for the sheep, and I withstood that bear with my bare hands. And if my God could help me defeat a lion and a bear, who is this dead dog that I can't defeat him? We don't know exactly how David strengthened himself in the Lord, but most likely he reminded himself, God's hand is upon me. Saul tried to kill me, but he couldn't. And I am here. I am going through this now. But I know greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I know that those who are for me are more than those who are against me. You may be going through your trial and you're not sure how you're going to get through it. The Bible says, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places above all principalities and powers. That's in the book of Ephesians. So we think that the devil is so great and is so intimidating, but the Bible says Christ is seated in heavenly places above principalities and powers, and he has placed us to sit with him in heavenly places. That means we are in a position above principalities and powers. In other words, the devil could huff and puff. The truth is, he is powerless against us, and he could do nothing unless God allows him. There's another scripture that I love. It says, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Whenever you feel the enemy is coming in like a flood, pray, Lord, raise up a standard against him. Don't waste your time decreeing and declaring, binding and loosing, pulling down principalities and any unscriptural types of prayers that people pray nowadays. Don't waste your time with that. Focus on doing what the Bible said. Lord, arise, let your enemies be scattered. And let the devil know what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that I am a child of the Most High God, and I am seated above principalities and powers, that I have been given authority to trample upon scorpions and serpents, and nothing shall by any means harm me. I am more than a conqueror through Christ. Those who are for me are more than those who are against me, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Let the devil know what the Word of God says. So that's what I told her. I told her, you're right now in the phase one, called pity. You need to pray and fast until you could get yourself into phase two, which is called resolve. Remind yourself of what God has done for you. Pray, fast. Ask God to magnify himself. Ask God to arise and let his enemies be scattered. And once you get to that stage called resolve, pray like you've never prayed before. Fast, seek God, fight the battle, and don't focus on the outcome. Focus on the battle. The outcome will take care of itself in God's timing. You just have to be consistent in doing what is right. Many Christians, because they don't see their prayers answered, they keep changing the way they pray. Every time a new wind blows, they plead the blood over everything, then they bind and loose, then they name it and claim it, now they decree and declare, and they keep changing the way they pray. Every time a new wind blows, they just jump on the bandwagon mindlessly. You just have to be consistent at doing what the Bible says. Fight and move from that phase called pity to the next phase, which is called resolve. Be consistent, and the victory will eventually come. God bless you.
Join us again for our next program. Find us online at BibleIssues.org. Join us also on our Facebook group. To be able to access the group, go to BibleIssues.org, where you will find the link. If you missed any of our broadcasts, you can catch up online at BibleIssues.org. Look for the audio sermons link. God bless you, and hope you join us next time. Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chidi and Induo Rampol Chidi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.